We have a lot going on in these readings. We have, of course, the revelation of God's name to Moses and through him to the people of Israel. And we have sort of this spiritual exposition of the Exodus in our second reading. But then we come to the first reading and, to the Gospel, and it seems a little strange because it's very concrete details about things that we really don't know anything else about other than these awful, tragic events happened. But Jesus takes these and he turns them to a kind of universal lesson. So I want us to pay attention to the two trees that are involved in our readings. The bush or the tree that is on fire but is not burned. And then this unfruitful fig tree that Jesus speaks of in the parable. And what ties this all together is a line that we might be tempted to miss from St. Paul writing to the Corinthians. All ate the same spiritual food and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from a spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was the Christ. So we can have this weird kind of block in our imagination when it comes to the Old Testament that the fathers of the church didn't have. So when we hear about God working with the people of Israel in the Old Testament, we just sort of generically go, well, that's God. But actually the fathers of the church, drawing right from St. Paul, understand that is the second person of the Trinity, the one who will become incarnate in the person of Jesus. And this additional closeness that the fathers understood was there helps us to situate ourselves in Lent. Because, let you in on a secret, you don't actually have to give anything up for Lent. That's kind of part of the Catholic branding, especially in the United States. Like, what are you giving up for Lent? It's not actually a requirement of the life of the church. Lent is a time to focus on prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. That's deep in the church's tradition. And it's a laudable practice to say, I will give something up for Lent. But we become so focused on it that we kind of miss the forest for the trees, no pun intended from the readings. We can become so fixated on self-improvement that we miss the fact that we can't save ourselves. And that's ultimately what these readings are about. It is about God saving his people, about saving us. Because there was no world in which the Israelites were going to be able to set themselves free from the Egyptians. But there's more going on there in the way that God reveals himself. There is an intensifying of the intimacy that God has with his people. He's trying to wake Moses up to this when he stops him and says, "Come no closer." At first, we might think this is God establishing a barrier. But then everything else is the exact opposite of that. Take off your shoes. Where you're at is holy ground. I want you to be in contact with it. And God goes even further because God didn't even reveal his name to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob. God is doing something new. He's entrusting his identity to Moses and through him to the Israelites. Salvation is going to be more than the liberation from Egypt. It's even going to be more than being brought to the promised land. Salvation is beginning in the closeness that God is now establishing with his people. He is drawing even closer to more richly fulfill the covenant. And so we see, though, that the people of Israel, much like us, are sort of caught up in the world that is merely moral. Well, these Galileans who took on the wrath of Pilate, or these people from Siloam who had the tower fall on them, the unstated thing is that we're still kind of being haunted by the perspective that bad things happen to bad people and good things happen to good people. And Jesus is shaking that all up. Everybody is in need of repentance. Right? Sometimes that's the answer. It's a little flippant, so you don't say it to somebody who's suffering intensely, but why do bad things happen to good people? There aren't good people, is the bottom line. All of us are in need of salvation. In fact, everything that is good that comes to us is a gift from God's goodness. But this idea of this unfruitful fig tree, God has always wanted another burning bush. There is something here that is supposed to be supernatural. This is the truth that, again, the fathers of the church understood. God did not come simply to make us well-behaved and moral. God came to divinize us. God came to share his very being with us. In us, God desires to have another burning bush. Someone who is so close to him that they are on fire but are not consumed or destroyed. This is who and what Jesus is coming to bring about. That is what salvation is. And this sounds high and theological and lofty, and it is. It's the depths of the mystery of our salvation, but we get glimpses of it in the simplest of things. When we grow in friendship with someone and we start seeing that they take on our way of speaking or acting, when we see it in our kids or our grandkids, when we see it in the people that we love, gosh, we're becoming like each other. That's the tiniest glimpse, the mirror darkly reflecting to us the truth of what God desires. That yes, the moral life is important because morality isn't just how we earn our ticket to heaven. The moral life makes us like God, but there is something more. So this is why Lent can't just be, what are you giving up? How are you improving yourself? Because no amount of improvement is going to divinize us. Instead, all of what Lent does is either prune stuff away that is making the tree exhausted, unfruitful, or giving of ourselves, emptying ourselves to be open to the divine life taking greater hold. So we cannot miss that the focus of Lent is not us and our own self-improvement, but Jesus. So if you've thought, we're about halfway through Lent, if you've thought more about your Lenten practices than Jesus so far this Lent, it's time to reevaluate the Lenten practice. Because it's Jesus who is the focus. It is Jesus who saves us. It is Jesus who divinizes us. He is the one who catches us on fire. So as we receive him in the Eucharist, drawn even closer than Moses was, right? Drawing him into our very being as food. May we allow him to wake us up as he woke Moses up. Just how close God desires to come. May we let him stir up in us not just concern about, is there fruit on the tree, but are we on fire? May that same spiritual rock, the Christ himself who met Moses in the burning bush, led the Israelites through the desert, came and died and rose again, inhabit our hearts and set us aflame with true, honest love that will indeed make us like him and divinize us.